are you guys? Good to see you this morning. Doing all right? Hey, listen, I had to look again this morning at my job description. I didn't realize in the fine print it said expect 3 to 5 inches of snow here in November. And so you got to read the fine print, people, because I didn't realize that was going to happen. I've been used to 80-degree weather for the last 8 years of my life, and so I'm acclimating very poorly. So pray for me, if you would, please. Awesome. Well, for those of you who don't know, my name is Eddie, and I serve as the executive pastor here of ministries at the church. So glad to share with all 15 of you, as most people decided to stay in and sleep and we're not even risking it. It's like they heard you. I was preaching. They're like, you know, it's just Eddie. We'll listen to the audio later on. So, but listen, I want to tell you a story. I like to make people laugh. It's fun to me to be able to share the gospel, to share the message. And so there's a story of a father, and he was putting his kid to sleep, and it's time to go to bed, and he's putting him to sleep, and he said, it's time to pray, son. And so the son begins to pray, and he says, Dear Harold. And the father goes, hold on a second. He goes, what did you say? He goes, well, I said Harold. And he goes, why would you call God Harold? He goes, we call him that at the church all the time. And he said, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, we pray that prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, Harold be thy name. It was funny to me when I read it, guys. Come on, man, help me out. Work with me, please. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, Pastor Thomas just finished a series, Relentless, and if you haven't got a chance to hear that message, series of messages, I want to encourage you to get up there and on the website there and listen to them. You can download them on your phone and listen to them. It is a powerful, powerful series. And today I have the honor of just preaching whatever I want. So we're not tied to any kind of series, and so I'm just preaching whatever just pops up, you know. And so today I want to preach about the book of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And a lot of you probably know this message, this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Word of God, and I'm going to share it with you this morning from a different perspective. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35, it says, On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, speaking of Jesus, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for those that are gathered here today, Lord God, to hear your word. I pray that your spirit would fill this place in new measure today, Lord God. That your word would go forth and accomplish exactly what you set it out to accomplish today. It would not fall to the ground or return to you void, but would be a good seed sown in fertile soil. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. As I read this story, every time I read it, it reminds me of transition and how oftentimes throughout our lives we're living in a season of, or a time period of transition, where God is trying to take us to the other side. For some, you may be transitioning from one job to the next job. Others are transitioning in your family. Perhaps there's a newborn coming pretty soon. Like we have some of them in our staff, by the way, don't drink the water. And we have some newborns are happening. You know what I'm saying? Some people, for us, Beth and I, we have our youngest son is a senior this year. He's transitioning. So we're going to be empty nesters, so to speak. He still wants to live with us. Pray for us, please. The list goes on and on. And then in the natural, even today, I mean, yesterday, I saw crazy people running in shorts because it was so nice outside. Again, I'm not transitioning while it was cold to me. But today, 3 to 5 inches Again, read the fine print on any contract that you sign. The natural seasons transition and transition and transition. But it's in those seasons of transition when God is repositioning us and telling us, get in the boat. We're going to another place. We're crossing over to the other side. You see, crossing over is designed to take us from one level to the next, from one assignment to the next, from one sphere of influence and authority to the next, from one opportunity to the next. But here's the dealio. When God is shifting his people into a new assignment, when he's taking us from one place to another, it's important that we find significance in where we have been, where we are, and where he's taken us to. Listen, if it was important enough for God to create you and I, do you not believe that it's important enough to know what role we will play in the next season? In other words, what significance do I have, do you have, in what God is creating now? What God has created then, and what God is going to create in the future? What role do I play? What significance do I play? Before we go any further, let me share with you the definition of significance. Significance is the quality of being worthy of attention. It's important, special. Significance means I have value. I am important, and my life counts for something. Let's look at the apostles in the story that we just read. Jesus has begun his ministry. He's chosen 12 men. He specifically sent out and says, follow me, to these 12 men. They begin to see the miracles that he's done. They begin to see him heal. They begin to witness the crowds. They begin to see him gather people together and speak that the kingdom of heaven was now at hand. But now Jesus tells them, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. They had to believe when they were getting in the boat with Jesus that, man, this guy's awesome. He's an incredible teacher. He heals people. And he gathers all these people around to hear him. We're hanging out with a rock star. And now he's telling them, let's get into the other side. And so we got to go. We're confident that some good things are about to happen. But then the storms came. The storm arose. And within just a very short period of time, they went from we're hanging with a rock star to Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing here? What happened? Fear? Unbelief? Doubt? Eventually, Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and their fear. See, they were crossing over to another part of God's plan, and that was going to involve change. It was going to involve that they were going to encounter storms that they were going to have to go through. They were going to be a part of something that made them feel uncomfortable. This change was not good to their flesh. And it comes to each and every one of us at times. Jesus was taking them to the other side, but it was going to require a deeper level of faith. A boldness that they couldn't muster for themselves. It had to come from him. You see, my hope is that for each and every one of you, that you have a longing within yourself to fulfill God's plan and purposes for your life. That you desire his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven for you individually. That you desire for that to manifest in your life. Well, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen because God is preparing you in a season of crossing over, in a season of transition, so that he can operate in you and then operate through you in a different way than he's ever done before. Let me say it this way, you can't rely on old manna. You got to rely on the new of what God is doing in you today. See, because what he did yesterday was yesterday's manna. It's what he's doing today that you need to focus on. Are you with me?
Yep.
All right. 7 of the 15. I'm going to get the rest of you. I'm going to get the 8. I'm going for you. Listen, as we cross over, in order to see God's glory manifest, Someone's got to change. I'll give you a hint. It's not him. So now this is where it gets tough. The times have changed. The times of transitioning, shifting, whatever you want to call it. Rarely are those things ever easy. But if we're going to grow and fulfill God's purpose for our lives, change is necessary. And it begins when we realize, listen to me, it begins when we realize that we are significant to God. We have significance. Listen, you have value, and what you do matters. Inside of you, there's a significance that not only makes a difference in your life, but has the ability to impact others' lives. Laura was up here a moment and said, listen, we're blessed that we can be a blessing to others. It's not just about us. But you have to understand, if you don't see yourself as being significant in God's plan, you will never see the more of God. Because he wants to operate in you first to realize that you have significance. Then he can operate through you to show that somebody else has significance. That makes sense? Say amen if you hear me.
Amen.
Now listen, before we move on to tell a little bit more about this story, because I want to really get into the scripture here, I want to give you a little bit of backstory about what sea they were in. It's the Sea of Galilee. And you can look it up in the maps. And the Sea of Galilee is like 700 feet below sea level. It's set in the northern hills of Israel. And the sea's location makes it subject to some really violent storms, because what happens is the wind comes off the eastern mountaintops and then drops suddenly into the sea, and it stirs up all these terrific storms. It's a very violent storm that can happen because of these winds. Now, add to this the fact that the enemy knows that Jesus is crossing over with his disciples to the other side. And he also knows that he has a demoniac there, a man who was filled with a legion of demons, as we'll see in the story. And he knows if Jesus gets over to the other side, somebody's going to get set free. So the storms in the natural are stirred up, and then the enemy is a part of this. Now, here's how I know. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read the scripture real quick, just to divert for a second. In verse 2, it says, and once you walked, speaking of us as before we were walking as saved people, he said, once you walked following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. I want to highlight the prince of the power of the air. If you look that up in the Greek, what it basically means in the atmosphere. So the enemy, Satan, operates in a level of this world in the atmospheric air. So he has control of the wind and of the waves. And he stirred up this massive violent storm that was already going to be violent because of the nature of where Galilee is sitting. He stirs up this storm to capsize, to drown the disciples and Jesus. You see, Jesus was headed across the Sea of Galilee into the Decapolis, a pagan area that Satan had control of. I want you to get an idea of the type of storm that was involved here. Because it was so violent that the disciples questioned whether Jesus even cared about them, because they were getting ready to capsize the boat. It was breaking apart around them. But listen, Jesus says we're crossing over. Jesus is telling you we're transitioning. We're going to the next place. We're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what Satan's got planned. Because if Jesus is going and you're in his boat, you're going to get there. Amen? So Jesus is coming, and he's got his disciples. He's rebuked the storm. Everything is calm. And now he's on a mission to destroy the works of the devil. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Write this word down, confidence. Confidence. See, the word confidence, significance speaks to confidence that your strength comes from God. You walk by faith, not by sight. In your weakness, his strength is perfected. You have a hope that others cannot see. You understand that while you will encounter troubles in this world, You walk through the storms, you take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And as he has overcome the world, so will I, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? That's prophetic for you. It is, if Jesus has told you, we're going to another place, we're crossing over into a new season, I'm taking you somewhere different that you've never been before, you can have confidence that if Jesus has said it, it will be accomplished, because his word doesn't fall to the ground and return to him void. As I said earlier, it accomplishes exactly what he set it out to do. Therefore, if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. Mark it down. Amen? Me and you, Micah, man, me and you. Woo! Jesus speaks, peace, be still, to the storm, and it ceases. At that moment, the disciples had to have this fear of God, of like, wow, who is this guy that even the winds and the sea obey him? They crossed over, and they get to the other side, calm waters. Look at Mark chapter 5. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately, if you're writing your Bibles, and it's okay to do that, you can underline immediately. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him with anymore, not even with a chain, for he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, on the mountains, he was crying out, and he was cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran down to and fell before him, crying out with a loud voice. He said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he, speaking of Jesus, was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Note that. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter into them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into a sea and drowned in the sea. So Jesus steps out of the boat, and almost immediately they encounter a demoniac. And the scripture said this was a man who was rejected by society. He was shackled and bound up in literal chains in a tomb. But he broke those chains, and every night he cried out and he cut himself. Rejected, crying out, and cutting himself. You know, that sounds like a lot of people in our society today. You hear that in the news all the time. People, especially among young people, crying out for help, crying out to God, feeling rejected by everyone around them, and cutting themselves. Yet even in that state, he sees Jesus far off, and he runs to him, and he falls down before him. The literal translation of the word to fall down literally means to worship. He fell down. It's called proskuneo. It means to kneel, to prostrate, to do homage, to bow in respect and in supplication. This man, full of demons, a legion. Now, a legion in that time period was around 6,000 plus. And there was 2,000 pigs. So what is that? Three for each pig? Right? Three demons for each pig got thrown in there. It's a lot of demons. But this man is full of demons, and he comes down and he worships Jesus. And in that place of worship, these demons are tormented. They're begging him, don't leave. Don't send us out of the country. Why? Because they owned that territory. The prince of the air had dominion over that territory. He controlled what was happening in this pagan nation. He says, don't send us out of here. Send us into these pigs. Remember, this prince of the air ruled that territory, but no longer. See, Jesus had come to the other side. He'd come with his disciples. They'd come in a boat. They'd face a storm. And now somebody was going to get set free. The man that was rejected was about to find acceptance in the form of Jesus. Write that word down, acceptance. See, significance speaks to the acceptance that you and I have through Jesus Christ. And once you know in your heart, not here, in your heart, that you've been accepted, everything changes. You have a new found relationship or a closer relationship with God. You have a boldness now that you know that you've come to the Lord. A boldness to say, you know what, I can go to him with whatever I have need of. I can speak to him at any time. I can come boldly to that throne of grace to receive mercy because I have been accepted. I am no longer rejected. You're significant. You're accepted. So these demons are about to lose their home, and they know it, and they're begging to be sent into this herd of pigs. Look at verse 13 in the book of Mark chapter 5. He says, so he gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000. They rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. Now, I love this picture because you got to put the whole story together to see what it, how it operates prophetically. And basically what it is this. In chapter 4, Jesus tells the disciples, we're crossing over, we're going to get into the boat. Something very significant is about to take place. The enemy gets riled up. He brings the storms and all this kind of stuff to try to destroy the boat. Now, the boat is the vessel that Jesus is using to get them to the other side. You following me? But he's trying to destroy the vessel so that he can drown the disciples. He can drown Jesus. But listen, it didn't work. And the demons know that their plan has failed. They're running, begging Jesus not to send away. And they're saying, you know what? Don't send us away. Just send us into the pigs, another vessel. And he says, go into the vessel. They go into the vessel. And what happens? The vessel goes into the very sea and drowns. So the plan that the enemy had for Jesus and his vessel didn't work. And the very plan that he had gets turned on him. And those demons are drowned in a vessel. Amen? I love that story. I love that story because the demon's plan failed. Satan's plan failed. God's plan remained. And then verse 14 of the book of Mark chapter 5, it says, the herdsmen who were taking care of their pigs. Imagine 2,000 pigs and you're like, they're going over the cliff. So they fled this and they told the city, into the city, and they're telling everybody in the countryside, you're not going to believe what happened. And so all the people from the countryside come out to see what has happened. In verse 14, and they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the guy that was oppressed by the enemy, who had a legion of demons sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Listen, they had rejected this man. They didn't want anything to do with him. They chained him up to the tombs. He was an outcast, and now they're coming out to see him. And if you look in another passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 8, he would rip off his clothes. He was constantly walking just naked and screaming and cutting himself. But now they come out to see him. He's sitting down with Jesus. He's seated. He's clothed in a robe, and he's in his right mind. Isn't that a picture of you and I when we get saved? We're bound for hell. And Jesus comes, and he saves us, and he makes us to be seated with him in heavenly places, and he clothes us in a robe of righteousness, and he begins to renew our mind by the Spirit of God. Isn't that awesome? You can look at the gathering demonic and say, there, but for God, go I. That's who we were, but Jesus had another plan. Why? Because we're significant to his plan. Deuteronomy chapter 14 says this, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you as a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Write this word down, holiness. Significance speaks to holiness. Once you realize, again, not in your head, in your heart, that you are significant, you will begin to make choices that identify with the one who has given you your significance. You will find new strength to make wise choices that glorify God in all that you do. You'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit begin to give you direction, calling you to a higher level of separation to God. Mark chapter 5, verse 16 says this, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-oppressed man and the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus, depart from the region. Listen, the demons were taken care of, but they were still a mindset. They were a pagan mindset, and they wanted nothing to do with what Jesus was doing. And here's the, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been oppressed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And Jesus didn't permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away. And I love this. He began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. The demonic stronghold was broken. The enemy had been destroyed. And the very place that he had hoped to destroy Jesus and his disciples. But it was still a pagan area. The people had to have been freaked out on their resident insane guy. I'm not talking about your uncle. I'm talking about the story here, who was now in his right mind. You would think that they would rejoice. You would think they would celebrate with a man being set free. Instead, they just wanted Jesus to leave. Perhaps it was because they thought, man, if he got that dude cleaned up and he comes to my house, what's he going to do when he gets there? I love the next part. Jesus decides to leave and he's getting into the boat and the man begs him that he could go with them. And Jesus basically says, listen, I came here because you're significant. I came to set you free. And now I've given you a purpose. I've given you meaning. Go tell everyone that I think they're significant too. Significance speaks to meaning. You can write that word down, meaning. And here's what meaning means. You're not an accident. I don't care how you got here. You have a purpose. You have a plan. A God-sized plan. A plan that God has for you to prosper, to give you hope, to give you a future. God, by his Spirit, is leading you in that plan. And as he leads you, he begins to show you the plan that he's called you to. He reveals the steps of faith that you're going to have to take when you get into the boat. And as you take them, even through the storms, you proclaim his goodness. You proclaim his faithfulness. You proclaim his truth. For those of you that are guests here this morning, it may be that God brought you to Rev City just so you could hear me say, you are significant. In this season, maybe you're transitioning. Maybe God brought you here today because he wants to show you what life can be in this church. And the significance that he sees in you can be significant to what God is building here. Listen, God is determined that he would move in you and through you today. Matthew 10, verse 7 says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's essentially what he told this demoniac who was now set free. Go and tell everybody else what I've done for you. Go praise God. See, God determined that you'd be here today despite the impending snowstorm. You're here this morning for a reason. It's no surprise to God. He knew who was going to look out the window and go, uh-uh. And most of you went, nah, it'll be all right. Amen. It's no surprise to God. He has significant things in store for you and for your life. And for those who are still at home, he has significant things for them as well. Specifically, he has significant things for you to do inside a local body of believers. That you would come in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a season of transition, in the midst of shifting, whatever you're going through, and that you would hear a message that says, I am significant. And in this plan, even though I can't see it right now because the waves are so high, I believe that I am significant to God. And I want you to understand that when he gets you to the other side, immediately you're going to experience an opportunity to walk in a new freedom. And whatever the enemy has planned for harm, God's going to turn that thing around, and it's going to be for your good. Do you believe that? Because, see, I believe it. Therefore, I'll walk in it. Because I know now, I didn't know then, but I know now that I am significant to God, and God has a plan for me to give me a hope and a future. I look like that gathering demonic at one point in my life. But God said, Eddie, get in my boat, we're going over to the other side. And he set me free. And he put my feet on a rock. This week, actually, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I was going through some social media and I was on my Facebook page. And by the way, if you go to Facebook, look me up and you can see this story. It's a young woman on the story, and it's got a bunch of pictures. And the story, it says, I lived a gay lifestyle for, 20-something years. I was on crack and heroin and all different kinds of drugs. I was manic depressive. I was suicidal. I was diagnosed as bipolar. I was doing all these things. And you can see, basically, they're mug shots of her. And it goes, and then you see, get to these other pictures, and you see her dressed beautifully. And she's got a hat on. She's going to church, you could tell. And she's got all this, and then she goes, but God, she goes, I was like the gathering demoniac, the story we just read. She goes, but God set me free. He healed me, and he set my feet on the rock. It's an amazing, amazing story. A friend of mine who posted the picture, I said, I can't believe you posted that picture today, this story today, because I'm preaching about that this weekend. And she said some nice things about me, and I sent her some money, and no, I'm kidding. And so, it was just an amazing, amazing story. But it's like I'm reading the scripture, I'm preparing for this message, and here is a real life, this week example of what God can do when he crosses over to the other side. Again, wherever you are, whether you're a guest or you're a member here, your significance in this season is about to be revealed. Regardless of what you're going through, the awesome reality that you and I have today is that every person in here is a person full of the potential of God, ready to be fully released at another level. But you have to see yourself differently. You've heard me say this before. You're not who the world says that you are. You're not who your parents say that you are, if it's negative or whatever. You're who God says that you are. And God counted you as significant. And how do I know that? Because he sent Jesus to die for you. He desires that you trust him in confidence, even when you can't see it, because you're significant. Even when it feels like you're about to drown, he's got you. You're accepted. You're redeemed. He's cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and now he wants to empower you so that you can be set apart in another level of holiness for him, so that you can find your true purpose and your meaning. See, God is shifting his people, and in this, entering this new season, going to that next level, that new assignment, that greater level of authority that I spoke about. Listen, God counts you as significant. I declare that opportunities are coming in this new season for you. I declare that you're going to find and you're going to see the significance of where you've been and now where you're going. Greater things are ahead. Do you receive that? Say this with me. I am significant. Okay, let's try that again like we mean it. I am significant. I realize you're matching my tone. I am significant. I am significant to you. No, I am significant. Yeah, come on now. I have value. My life will count for something. Come on, man. Now catch this. Significance begins when we know that we know that we know that God has a plan and purpose for us. Listen, that purpose is good. Yeah, he's going to clean us up. Right? We sang that song a minute ago. When I walk through the fire, what does it say? I'm not going to what? I won't be overcome. When I'm in the water, what? Yeah. We got to learn the lyrics, guys. Come on, listen. Listen. No matter what we're going through, God's going to walk with us, man. We're going to go through the fire, and we're not going to smell like smoke when we come out the other side. All right? We're going to, no matter how high the water gets, listen, he's going to give us floaties. We're going to get through it. We're not going to drown. He has a plan to give you a hope and a future, a purpose, a destiny, a calling, whatever you want to label it. He's going to get you there. Just get in the boat. So I don't like to sail, Pastor Eddie. No, I don't care. Get in. See, the greatest picture of our significance to God is that he sent, like I said a minute ago, Jesus Christ to die for you. Even if you had been the only person on the planet, you were separated from God through sin. And he sent Jesus for you because he had to close that gap of separation. Once you acknowledge your sinfulness, once you repent, once you acknowledge that you need Jesus Christ to come and save you, then you have to understand that he counts you as significant, that you're no longer your own. You've been purchased with a great price. At that point, you no longer live in the flesh. God has shown you that you matter, that he cares for you so much that not only did he forgive your sins, but now he's going to send the Holy Spirit to empower you to live a life that you can't live on your own. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth that's going to lead you and guide you into all truth to show you the significance that you have in his plan. Stand up with me if you would. I want to invite the worship team to come forward as well. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and be really, it's cool, we dim the lights down so I can't really see you very well, but that's okay. I want it that way because I want just as a private moment between you and God. I want you to do me a favor because I really want this to be a moment just that you have with the Lord. If you would just bow your heads with me, just close your eyes. Perhaps you're here this morning and you heard this message on significance, and you just, if you're honest with God, you said to yourself, you know what? I don't see that I'm very significant. With every head bowed, please just to honor everybody else around you. Every eye closed. This is just a moment between you and God. If you've at any moment during this message felt, you know what? I don't see my significance in God's picture, God's plan. If that's you, would you just raise your hands? Because I want to know who I'm praying for this morning. I see you back there in the back. I see you two over there. Thank you. I see you there in the back. I see you right there. I see you over here. If you raise your hand, I want everybody else to keep your eyes closed and head bowed, please. But if you're the one that raised your hand, would you look up at me? I can kind of just, I can't see your face, but I can see who you are, see your hands. Look at me. I want you to know right now, for you that raised your hands, is what you feel is not God. It's a lie from the enemy. God has a plan for you. Some of you are even walking in that plan, but you still don't see yourself as significant. And I want you to know again, that is a lie from the enemy. You are significant. You are important to God. God sent his son to die for you so that you might be set free, so that you might find your significance in him. It's not in the work that you do. It's not in the things that you do. It's not in anything that you do. It's because you are his son and you are his daughter. That makes you significant. You need to receive that today. That's how God sees you. And once you receive that, and once you begin to believe that, listen to me, God will begin to operate in you to heal that area of your life so that you can go out and tell other people around you that they are significant too. If you're here this morning and you said, you know, I don't know about this whole significance thing. I don't even know that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I hear that Jesus came to die for me so that I could close that gap. And if you're here this morning, again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, you know what? I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ because he sent his son to die for me that I might find my significance. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up for me so I could pray for you, please? Anybody here this morning? Thank you. I see you back there. I see you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me look around one more time. I see you, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Anybody else? If you raise your hand, I want you to pray with me, and we're going to all join you together as a family of believers. We're going to pray with you so that you don't feel left singled out here. So just repeat after me. Father God, I recognize my need for a Savior. I repent of my sin, and I surrender my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it in Jesus' name. And I'll never be the same. I will never be the same. I have significance, and I will never be the same. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap off for this morning? We're going to go back into some worship, and we're going to sing a song of our identity in Christ. And I want you to know you're significant today. Go tell everybody how significant you are. Amen? Come on, worship team.